This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. Israel is on the brink of a ground invasion against Hamas.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Well, we were about to talk about the pending ground invasion that's going on, but I get red alerts from an app that I use to monitor what's going on in Israel, and there's a major attack going on right now in the north. Coming in, it looks like it's Hezbollah has unleashed both rockets and possibly aircraft. Now, we don't have a confirmation of exactly the nature and scope of it, but there's a lot of this going on. We're looking to get Chris Mitchell from CBN News. Okay, we may have him in a moment. But Jordan, one of the things we've been concerned about from the outset, this is happening, folks, as we're alive, this has just happened. I mean, my ear, it's going off in my ears, the alerts, because there are literally hundreds of or dozens of rockets at this point coming in from Hezbollah in the north. Not shocking. That's why it's taking a while to get everything set up here, folks. These are asymmetrical wars. They are in different zones, and this is happening right now. Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, literally 2 minutes before we went on the air, I got that alert as well. But Israel is calling it an invasion to its people to take cover, not just from rocket fire, but I don't think they would use the word invasion if that did not mean some kind of other incursion more than rockets, whether that's individuals like we saw in the Gaza Strip.
And they say it's aircraft, too.
And aircraft as well. Because to remind people, Hezbollah is much more well-funded and is a much stronger military than Hamas. We saw what Hamas could do. Imagine what Hezbollah could do if they'd been the green light to unleash the viciousness on Israel.
All right, we've got Chris Mitchell, CBN News, and our colleague is in Jerusalem right now. Chris, what's the latest on this? It's just happening.
Well, we're hearing the same things you are, Jay and Jordan, that there's manned aircraft coming to Tiberias, coming to Safad, coming to Beit Shan. For those that have been here in Israel, Beit Shan is up there on Route 90 on the way to Tiberias, maybe about a half an hour or 40 minutes south of Tiberias. But it does sound like what we had anticipated and what many had feared would be an invasion from not only Lebanon, but also Syria. We heard that earlier today from the IDF spokesman, Jonathan Conricus. And we have heard actually for the last few years that when the next war happens on the north, it's not going to be just a Lebanese war, not the third Lebanese war, but the first Northern Front War. And this is something that Iran has been doing with its proxy Hezbollah in Lebanon, but also in Syria as well, building up its military forces. So presumably, Jay and Jordan, this might be the beginning of what many had anticipated, many had feared, something happening on the northern border right now.
Chris, the idea that it's manned aircraft, though, that raises a whole different specter, too, of what this could be.
Exactly. It could be the same kind of paragliders that that Hamas used. And they use those paragliders actually to slaughter over 200 Israelis there on the at that music festival. So whether they're actually fixed wing aircraft, paragliders, we don't know yet. But we know that these are manned aircraft that are in Israeli airspace right now.
We are getting reports, I want everyone to know, that the U.S. Embassy in Beirut is being evacuated as we speak. Okay. So this is going further than just the northern border between Israel and Lebanon. This is the U.S. Embassy being evacuated now, which appears then that Hezbollah
is taking over,
has entered this conflict.
Okay, so Chris, can you stay with us? We're going to be joined by Israel Bakar, or we've got that worked out. He'll be joining us, the Council General for Israel. We've got Jordan is on remote location, Chris Mitchell in Jerusalem. Folks, stay tuned here. Share this feed with your friends. We got a lot of people watching and listening already, millions. We need to encourage you to do that. Also, stand with the ACLJ, folks, if there was ever a time. We were at the Council of Europe today and got an agreement from a number of member states to introduce a resolution pulling the Palestinian Authority's representation at the Council of Europe. This could be huge. Stand with the ACLJ. We're in a major campaign right now. We encourage you to stand with Israel. Be a champion for life, liberty, and freedom. ACLJ.org/champions. Do that today. More on this breaking news as soon as we get back. everyone. The hostile aircraft is intruded in the north. I am counting right now, based on the alerts that I'm getting, that there's been at least seven, maybe 12, it looks like, of these hostile aircraft. Chris Mitchell's with us in Jerusalem. Jordan's on location. Jordan, what are you hearing? And then Chris will go to you. But Jordan, what are you hearing? I've got about 12. And these are areas in the north, the Golan Heights area and that area. And we've been to those areas. These are very sensitive portions of Israel's northern border.
And these are this is the most well-backed terror organization, governing body, whatever you want to call Hezbollah, in the world as a paramilitary group. I have friends who have been in the IDF who were in the last ground combat war with Hezbollah. They are much more sophisticated than Hamas. And we saw that Hamas has become much more sophisticated because of training with Hezbollah. So with Hezbollah entering this, that means that Iran has green-lighted a second wave to this war,
right,
and a second front to this war. We know it's all coming from Iran. And it's not just rockets this time. And remember when Hezbollah fired rockets, Dad?
Yep.
Those alone were much stronger and took a lot more human life. If they're going in on the ground in these cities, this is going to be, again, potential carnage. Hopefully Israel was prepared at the northern border.
Yep. So, Chris, I want to get your latest, and then we're going to go to the Consul General from Israel. We've got Consul General Israel Bakar on the phone. But, Chris, what are you hearing as the latest?
Well, what I'm hearing and seeing, if you can see, quote, you can see all these red dots on my phone right now. This is every dot represents some sort of infiltration for terrorists and armed drones coming in and likely manned aircraft. And to your point, Jay and Jordan, Hezbollah is much stronger than Hamas. It has maybe as many as 150. I've heard up to 250,000 rockets and missiles, aimed at Israel. Many of them precision guided that could hit almost anywhere here in Israel. Also, they've been doing war games for the last few months, and there have been provocations on the border, testing the border almost like Hamas has done on the southern border. And so this is, as we have northern residents in shelters immediately right now, we have these armed drones, and this might be the start of something that we had anticipated and feared.
All right. Joining us on the phone is Consul General from Israel, Israel Bakar. And Mr. Consul General, thank you for, I know it's become a very active morning. This development now with the North, with Hezbollah entering this engagement, what does that mean for the situation?
Well, first of all, Jay and Jordan, good morning. We're having a great morning right now. But I think let's go one day backwards. Yesterday, the president gave a strong deterrence remarks to Iran and Hezbollah not to get into the fight. And I would like, first of all, to say thank you for the president for the strong and warm words and the deterrence element in his speech. Hezbollah getting into the fight is going to change the war completely into a large-scale war with tens of thousands of missiles and rockets at Israeli, guided at Israeli centers and military compounds. It's going to be a whole different game. We cannot let Hezbollah or Iran get into this fight, and we're going to do the most that we can, and they're going to stay in their borders and not getting in.
You know, Israel, I've been to that portion of the country many, many times. I've been there when there's been incoming rockets, and I know the differential between Hamas and Hezbollah. But to our audience, I think it would be good to hear from you that Hezbollah is deemed, I mean, by many people to be a much more sophisticated adversary, a more sophisticated terrorist group than Hamas. Not that Hamas hasn't done horrific things, but Hezbollah is a whole different dimension of capacity and capability.
I agree with you 100%. Hezbollah is basically, it's an army. It's an Iranian army, financed, directed, trained, armed by the Iranian regime, controlled by the Iranian regime. They are basically, Iran is the architect and Hezbollah are the proxy. That's the way it is. It's 160,000 missiles directed at Israel. It's very, very well-trained terrorist organization, very vicious and very coordinated. That's basically fighting the Nazis on the northern border. That's what it is. It's a blend of extreme religious philosophy with a very good ammunition capabilities. That's exactly what the Nazis were, and that's what we're going to have to face. So I don't think if Hezbollah is getting into the fight, it's not anymore the fight of Israel to win this war. It's going to be basically the war of a civic nation, democratic nations to come and help us to win against these Nazis on the northern border.
That was my next question I was going to ask you, and that is this. The fact that you've got, it looks like Hezbollah, I mean, based on all the reports we're getting, has engaged this at a significant level, Mr. Counsel General. The question then becomes, what do the other neighbors of Israel and some of the countries that Israel's in relationship with the Abraham Accords, does this put them in the conflict? How do you see that balancing out?
Definitely, Iran is destabilizing the whole region exactly to prevent any peace process between Israel and other Arab nation states like the Gulf states. And definitely, Iran does not want to see Israel signing a peace treaty with the Saudis. The American is doing strategically the right thing. They're trying to put Israel and Saudis in peace process to come to terms. Basically, we don't have any reason not to be in peace process and good relationships with the Saudis. We want it. America wants it. And the Saudis want it. The only problem is that the Iranians do not want it. And they do not want it because they want to create a power of center, their power of center and influence in the region. Let's see who they are controlling right now. They are controlling Iraq. They're controlling Lebanon. And they have a huge influence in Yemen. So America is trying to create with the Israeli a shift,
yes.
power shift in the region that will counter the Iranian aggressions. And America is doing the right thing about it. So what the Gulf states are going to do, most likely they're going to be quiet. They're not be active in this fighting in any way, shape or form. And we understand it. But everybody are terrified in the region and mostly more the Arab state and Israel about the Iranian influence in the region. So basically, we are doing the military fights against Iran and Hezbollah, and they are basically looking up to us.
All right, Counsel General Bakar, thank you for being with us. We appreciate you giving us this insight, and know that we're doing everything we can also to help on a legal basis. Our lawyers in the Council of Europe this week. Today, actually, our lawyers have been at the United Nations and will continue to support Israel. Thank you, Mr. Counsel General. Let me go to Chris Mitchell in Jerusalem to get the latest on what you're hearing there. Chris?
Well, I would just concur with the Council General. You know, a lot of this is likely to upset the normalization that was we felt not day, maybe weeks or months away. I did an interview with Jason Greenblatt last Friday about that. He was the former Middle East envoy for the Trump administration. At the time, everything seemed like it was on its way to that normalization. So it's very likely that Iran's doing this to upset that kind of geopolitical rebalance here in the Middle East. Well, the latest I'm hearing, 15 UAVs have crossed into Israel from Lebanon.
Chris, explain what a UAV is to our audience.
Okay. Let's see, UAV, help me out here.
Calls of some type and we're also hearing that it's also possibly manned aircraft, which it is hard to get a grasp on what that could be at this point.
Yeah, right. That's the next thing I was going to say, Jay. 10 ultralights carrying 20 Hezbollah terrorists infiltrated. There's a rocket attack in Matula. That's the furthest northernmost point in Israel right now. It's right there on the Lebanese border. And also the infiltration alert of one town on the Lebanese border. And we have been there. We've been in one of those tunnels that Hezbollah has dug underneath the Lebanese-Israeli border. One was discovered literally just a few feet away from one of those towns. And that's part of their war game, that they want to infiltrate into northern Israel and do just what Hamas did last Saturday.
If Chris can stay with us, I'm going to ask our production staff during the break for our radio stations, can we stay live with everybody on our social media platform? So if you're not watching us on Rumble, which is our preferred platform, or YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, we encourage you to do it because we're going to stay live during this break coming up because there's so much information coming in. Jordan, you want to add something quickly? We're a minute out from taking the break.
Yeah, I just want to underscore to people, with this new engagement by Hezbollah, there is no question here. There is no doubt a major power is behind this. It is Iran. There is Democrat support to freese that $6 billion that the Biden administration unfroze. So I think that's very important that we're starting to see bipartisan unity. We're going to be joined by a Democrat congressman today on the show.
All right, we've got a lot more ahead, and we're going to stay live during the break. So if you're watching us again, and share this feed, if you're whether on whatever social media app you're watching right now, and there's a lot of you watching, share this with your friends so we get as many people on. We're going to stay live and giving you reports because we're getting updates literally as we're on the air. Also, folks, if there was ever a time you got an email today to stand with Israel, it is today, and stand with the ACLJ. Our lawyers were at the Council of Europe today in Strasbourg, France, getting and with member support to remove the Palestinian Authority as a designated government representative. This would be huge. There's only three countries standing in the way right now: Ireland, Luxembourg, and Denmark. More when we come back. Stand with the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. All right, folks, welcome back to Seculo. If you're just joining us, we've got really breaking news, and that breaking news is in Hezbollah in the north has unleashed a massive attack on the northern portion of Israel. Hamas is in Gaza. So when you look at the map, I'm going to put it up on the screen right now. This is the northern portion of Israel. It's being described as a massive drone attack is currently ongoing. There's also been incursion. This is Hezbollah. And Jordan, since it's Hezbollah, we know that means this is a war with Iran. No question about it.
Yeah, we don't have to debate that anymore. We don't have to say, well, there's not direct intelligence tying Hamas yet to that. This is 100% confirmation that Hezbollah, because of the escalation, initially people are saying maybe they were doing it in a sign of solidarity to send a few rockets over. No, you don't use invasion. This has not happened in recent history where you've got at least unmanned aircraft and potentially manned aircraft as well. And as we know as Americans, these drones can cause serious carnage, just as much carnage as most fighter jets and bomber jets.
Yeah, and Chris, the vulnerability, I want to go over the capacity issue again. So people, you know, Hamas, listen, they pulled off a horrific attack. I mean, nothing that, Chris, you and I, you've lived there for many decades now, and I've been going to Israel since the 80s. But this was an attack like we've never seen. But if you look at Hamas and Hezbollah as far as capacity to do damage to Israel and its neighbors, you cannot compare Hamas to Hezbollah. Hezbollah is in a league by itself.
As the general counsel said, it's an army, and it's one of the strongest armies in the Middle East. And so their capacity is that much greater exponentially than Hamas on the southern border. And I would add that Iran is there. They develop drones. I mean, there's exported drones. And so, you know, a multiple drone attack. And that's what they did in 2019 in Saudi Arabia, when they destroyed one of the biggest, if not the biggest, oil refinery factory there. So this is this is sort of Iran's, you know, really wheelhouse. They know how to build drones. They know how to operate drones. They've been hitting drones in the last several years with shipping, you know, near the Persian Gulf. So this is what they do, and this really is the hallmarks of Iran's involvement.
All right, we are going to open up our phone lines at 1-800-684-3110. Your calls about this. This is a major escalation, 800-684-3110. Interesting, yesterday President Biden warned other entities not to get involved in this, Jordan, but that warning was not heeded by, based on the 70 reports I have on my phone right now of what's going on in the north of Israel.
I actually thought of all the statements I've seen from President Biden and everybody don't start attacking me in Rumble. It was a very strong statement in support of Israel. And I was glad to see that. There was nothing about a ceasefire. There was nothing about proportionality. There was nothing about a condemnation of Israel. It was about the brutality of Hamas, calling it similar to the ISIS attacks, and no excuse for those attacks. So I think this is a very important unifying moment for the country, which is very helpful for Israel. They need a unified United States, and Lord knows we've been pretty divided here in the United States. They need a pretty unified United States to have their back.
Which raises this issue. We're going to take phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. This puts the whole Middle East situation in a very difficult, different spot. And we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let me go to Don in California. Don, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a question about, it looks like the two-state solution is out the window, as if nobody noticed. How would the mechanics of a one state solution work?
Well, that would mean that the Arab populace of Israel would be entitled to the same rights to vote as any other citizen of Israel, and that's the way it would be. The difficulty here is that the two-state solution is falling apart because Hamas is in control, basically, of the Palestinian Authority. So, Chris, the reality is Mahmoud Abbas's ability to govern has been so neutralized by Hamas. And then you add Hezbollah on top. By the way, Hezbollah and Hamas are not friends. The only thing they are friendly about is they've got a common enemy. What Chris, Don's question is a good one. What does this do to the two-state solution?
I would say the two-state solution died a long time ago.
Yeah.
It really has been dead on arrival. They haven't been negotiating for years. I would say, I'll repeat what somebody said, Itamar Marcus, he's with the Palestinian Media Watch, and he's monitored the Palestinian media. This is Mahmoud Abbas, this is Fatah, this is the Palestinian Authority. He calls the Oslo Accords, leading to his two-state solution, not a failure, but a fraud. And he said, and what he meant by that was that the Palestinian Authority, go back to Yasser Arafat when he came here with the Oslo Accords, back in the mid-1990s, it really was a plan to eventually take over Israel and have a one-state solution and eliminate the Jewish state. So the two-state solution has been sort of an illusion, I think, for a long time, and I think it's long gone.
And now, especially with what happened by Hamas and with Hezbollah, Jordan, go ahead.
This is a new war today.
Yep.
And there was already a pretty massive potential war yesterday, a two-front war that could become easily a three-front war, depending on what happens with Syria and some of those areas of the Golan Heights. We need to really pressure the U.S. allies like Egypt to keep terrorists from crossing into Gaza or using the Sinai to launch attacks on Israel.
I want to ask giving out suggestions as we're on the air live here. I want our internet team and our social media team and our email team to be thinking about whether we need to send out an email alert to all of our ACLJ members about this is a major escalation with major consequences. And it's also going to take our work, the legal side of this at the United Nations is going to be very big. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, we've got more breaking news. The State Department, this just shows you the impact this is having on the United States. Now 22 Americans have been killed in the Hamas terror attack. So that number just continues to rise as they go through the bodies. So this is not just an attack on our number one ally in the Middle East, the only true democracy in the Middle East. It is an attack on Americans, and we have to respond. That makes it very different than the war in Ukraine.
We have a lot of people watching on our social media. Thousands and thousands and thousands of you. We've got millions of you listening on our other platforms as well. We're going to be taking a break to reset in about a minute and a half. During that time, I'm going to encourage you to share it with your friends. We're going to recap again what has happened in a few moments. But just so you know, you have Hamas and now you have Hezbollah. You've got a full conflict basically with Iran. This is going to have the potential to drag in other regional players. And they could be on Israel's side, could be opposed. I'll talk to Chris when we come back from the break on that, if he can stay with us. This is at a whole different dimension now. What's going to take place at the UN on Friday is we are doing a filing with the Commission of Inquiry. This is the one that attacks Israel so often. We've got a legal memorandum that we are filing with them, which we're going to obviously update now. That is going to be significant. We had our lawyers at the Council of Europe today in Strasbourg, France. Our teams in Washington are fully engaged. We sent that letter to Hakeem Jeffries about the squad, and you know what happened? 2 hours later, Karim Jean-Pierre condemned their statements from the podium. So we're getting direct action, folks. Stand with the ACLJ here. You're standing with Israel. Stand with the ACLJ. Become an ACLJ champion. a champion for life, freedom, and liberty, and a champion for Israel. ACLJ.org. You become a champion by just simply supporting us each and every month, whatever the amount is. ACLJ champions make a huge difference. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Well, we have got a whole different development right now, and that is, as Israel's preparing for what looks like a ground invasion of Hamas, there's been a major attack in the northern portion of Israel by Hezbollah. Hezbollah is a much more powerful, much more trained, much more deadly force. And the direct tie between Hezbollah and Iran is crystal clear. Now, we got Chris Mitchell in the CBN studios, which is where our offices are, also in Jerusalem, and Jordan is on location out of the studio. I want to go to Chris first. Chris, I think we've got a recap here for people. This attack coming in from the north does have a diametrical or a multidimensional aspect to it, because the capacity and capability of what they can do is so much greater than Hamas and reaches so much further into Israel. And you've been there when these rockets have come in. I have too.
That's right. And we were there in 2006 during the Second Lebanon War. And I, as we said earlier, they had about 14 or 15,000 rockets in their arsenal at the time. They've been able to build that up exponentially, maybe 150 to 200, maybe even more thousands of rockets. They could be aimed at Israel. They could do in a day what they did in 34 days and fire thousands of rockets into Israel. That hasn't happened yet. But we do see this infiltration by UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles. We do see paragliders with terrorists coming in. Whether or not this is the prelude to such a big war, a second front war, not only with Lebanon, but also with Syria, we'll see how this develops in the minutes and the hours yet to come.
You know, I am looking at my phone. I've got it, too. There are drone attacks going in on Tiberias. There are drone attacks going towards the whole Galilee region. Bet Shean, there, Safad, Alma, Baruch. I mean, now we don't know the number, but let's put up that map on the screen again. This is for those that are watching, and I'll describe it for our radio audience. This was about 30 minutes ago. So, you know, we'll look to see if there's a more development, but these are all unmanned areas. I mean, it goes almost down to Nazareth. This is where you're talking about. This also is a geopolitical switch, Jordan, on what this war now looks like.
That's right. I mean, I think, again, it's critical that the U.S. gets Israel what it needs for its Iron Dome system, but it's also going to be critical to get more weaponry. I know we've got the battle crew, the battle crews in the Mediterranean. That's an important deterrent. When you're talking about Hezbollah, I actually think if there wasn't a U.S. engagement, like when President Trump ordered those Tomahawk missiles into Syria, with Hezbollah's involvement, that could be a very necessary addition into what Israel has in its power.
This can quickly turn into, it is quickly turning into, a much more global conflict. Certainly now, Chris, with Hezbollah involved, it is definitely a regional conflict. It's not just Hamas.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm looking at a Twitter feed of, and I recommend this, Israel Alma. It's the Alma Education Center on the Israeli border. And they're talking about these kamikaze UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles. And as they say here on their Twitter feed, these are the same kamikaze UAVs used by Iran and Hezbollah. And so that's just more evidence of the direct tie between Hezbollah and Iran.
Yeah, so, I mean, this conflict is taking on a whole dimension. Folks, we're going to stay live during the break here. I want to encourage you to share this feed with your friends. I want to also encourage you to do something else. First of all, support CBN and CBN News. Chris Mitchell does a fantastic job and has for decades. And I'm glad we're able to partner with them. I'm glad we share offices in Jerusalem. And Chris and I have been friends for literally 30 years, and it does a great job reporting out of Israel. Knows it better than anybody. We're able to bring this to you, folks, because of your support for the ACLJ. And as I said, I deployed lawyers. We deployed lawyers in Strasbourg, France, at the Council of Europe today. We've got lawyers sending information and legal documents into the United Nations today. We're going to update our email this afternoon with this latest information and tell you what we're going to do. Support the ACLJ. Become an ACLJ champion. That means you donate each and every month, recurring donation. A champion for Israel, a champion for life, liberty, and freedom. Do it at aclj.org/champions. Jared Moskowitz in a moment. We don't have him now because we should have him any minute now. There is breaking news developing in the Middle East in a way that makes the tragedy and the horrible situation with Gaza is one front of this war. There now appears to be a second front. Chris Mitchell is the CBN News bureau chief in Jerusalem and has been following this for many decades. Chris, we in the Hamas situation, we've never seen anything like this in our lifetime. The intelligence failure here was dramatic. We'll get into that in days ahead. You can't deal with that right now. There's talk of a ground incursion being planned for the Gaza, which is in the border towards the water. And now you have the ocean and the Mediterranean Sea. You now have the situation in north. And this is not unexpected. Israel has brigades that are dedicated to these areas. But those brigades are having to call in reserves from all over the country. Explain to our audience what that looks like.
Well, right now, Israel probably has a standing army of about 120,000 to 125,000 men and women in the armed forces. Now they're calling up an additional 360,000, like three times their normal level of the army. And so they are going to be, so you have about half a million men and women. They're going to be called up right as we speak, preparing for a ground incursion into the Gaza Strip, as well as protecting the northern border. So this is, so they're anticipating a two, and as we said, maybe three front war from Lebanon and Syria coming into the fray after thing with Hamas. I would add this, Jay and Jordan, a home front command officials notes, those in northern Israel being told to shelter, they don't need to sit in their bomb shelters, but rally, simply lock themselves in their home, recommending they also dim the lights. And that would speak to the possible infiltration of terrorists who would come in and in these communities like they did in those southern communities right there on the Gaza border.
All right, joining us now on the phone is Congressman Jared Moskowitz. Jordan, I'm going to let you start with the introduction since you all are friends, and then we've got a lot of breaking information we'll get the Congressman's impression on.
Long-term friends, attended GW University together, fraternity brothers there. We're on different sides of the aisle politically, but we've always kept an open line of communication. And even when he served in the DeSantis administration and did a great job coming on our broadcast about what they were doing when he was the emergency management director for the entire state of Florida. He is a strong supporter of Israel. And when I saw his messages on Twitter and the way he was being almost attacked on Twitter, I went right to Jared and I wanted to have him on. So Congressman Moskowitz, I'll call you that on the broadcast. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Really appreciate it.
You know, Congressman, this is a moment that we're starting to see. I thought the speech from President Biden was very strong. I thought the statement from Karine Jean-Pierre about the squad was really important and strong. I think this is a moment, and you tell me, that Republicans and Democrats can really work together in support of Israel, that there is still a widespread bipartisan unity when it comes to having Israel's back.
Oh, that's 100% correct. In fact, the resolution that will be coming forward potentially on unanimous consent or shortly thereafter we get a speaker, we'll see, has 400 co-sponsors on the resolution. I think it's the most co-sponsors any resolution has gotten in Congress, or at least in recent memory. And so there is dramatic bipartisan support for Israel's right to defend itself, a dramatic bipartisan support for the United States to stand with Israel in their 9/11 moment, which is what the world did for us when New York was attacked. And so, yeah, listen, while Washington is broken, while there are many things we disagree on, there are still bright moments, especially during tragedy, when we could put that stuff aside and come together.
Let me ask you this question, Congressman, because this is breaking news, obviously. Hezbollah entering this fray, which has got a direct tie to Iran, and that is no secret, also makes this a multidimensional front war for Israel. And I've been to that region many, many times, and I've worked with Israeli leadership from Prime Minister Ehud Barak all the way to Benjamin Netanyahu. And I've done cases at the International Criminal Court involving Israel under various prime ministers. Here's the question. Hezbollah entering this fray, and it looks like they're using a tremendous amount, with the reports we're getting, of unmanned drones, but weaponized. And they're using those paragliders, like Hamas did, going into areas in Nazareth, the Galilee region, and up into the Golan Heights. That engagement by Hezbollah, who's a much more sophisticated adversary than Hamas, does change the dynamic of what Israel's now facing on the ground.
Yeah, so, I mean, listen, everyone is really deeply concerned about the potential for Hezbollah out of Lebanon from the north to get involved in this war. There's been some fire going back and forth, obviously. Some Israelis have died, some Hezbollah fighters, Hezbollah terrorists have died as a result of that. But so far, we're not seeing a significant escalation. Obviously, I heard about the paragliders landing, so that is not going...
Let me give you some information. They're closing... the embassies up in Beirut. There are reportedly been 100 incursions in the last hour. So, and the rockets have not been pouring in. It's these paragliders which do that so much harm to the individuals. I'm concerned that the escalation here is, well, I'm sure Israel anticipated it, but I'm just trying to get to the point. It's multidimensional. Jordan, you want to ask a question?
Yeah, I mean, Congressman, there's also this personal side to it. I saw your wife's post. I mean, I think when we all saw the images, and we have to share those images and continue to share those images across party lines of the children that were taken hostage or killed. And, you know, it makes me almost, I was in tears the first time talking about this on our show this week, because they look exactly like my kids. They probably look like your kids, too. And you can kind of see... again, that fear in their eyes, that emotional component, that we can't let the world ignore what Hamas has decided to become, which is a terrorist group more like ISIS and not some kind of political resistance army.
Yeah, so let me answer both of you guys. So, Jay, there's conflicting reports right now. The U.S. Embassy in Beirut has just put out a statement that they're not evacuating the embassy. You know, so what stage of escalation? Clearly, what Hezbollah is doing is an escalation, but what stage of escalation we're at is unclear.
Right.
But if Hezbollah, in a significant way, opens up a second front war where we're worried about invasion from the north, at that point in time, I think it's obviously up to the president, but my vote would be for the United States to enter militarily on behalf of Israel. You know, Jordan brings up a really good point, because we know how the media, you know, likes to change the subject as soon as they can to move away. We have not seen in this region, although we have seen it with ISIS, but we have not seen in this region the barbarism that took place on the 7th of October. And Jews have not seen this barbarism since the Holocaust. People burned alive in their cars, 40 babies. And I had been to that kibbutz in August, okay, of this year, 40 babies murdered in their cribs, some decapitated, women raped next to their dead friend or spouse. And as a Jew who never thought we would see these things again anyplace else, that bring back memories of the Holocaust, because make no mistake, what Hamas is dedicated to and what they were doing, that was genocide. That was an annihilation of the Jewish people, what they tried to commit on the 7th. And that's what they're dedicated to, and that's why they need to be removed from Gaza and removed as an organization and eliminated. And let me tell you this, they took a Holocaust survivor hostage. Okay.
Yep.
That poor woman never thought she would ever have to deal with that again in her life. She thought the world had moved away from that. And we have to remember and make people remember a week from now, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, a month from now, that everything that's going on is all Hamas's fault.
Yeah, the human tragedy is unspeakable. Congressman, we appreciate you being with us. Thanks for your insight on this. And folks, we're monitoring this situation. I'm going to go to Chris Mitchell in Jerusalem before we take a break. Chris, what's the latest that you're hearing there in Israel?
Well, it's about the latest is that we've heard is that these infiltrations have come in. Residents in the north of Israel are being told to stay inside, not their bomb shelters yet, but dim the lights. As we said earlier, speaks to the possibility of infiltration, just like happened on the southern border. You know, whether or not this, what we have so far, is a prelude to what might be a major attack by Hezbollah, we don't know. But that's certainly what the IDF is preparing for on the northern border, and a second and third front opened after the southern border.
We've got a lot of calls coming in. I'm going to take them in the last segment here, and a lot of very good calls, so we're going to get to as many as we can. Folks, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We've got a special report coming up in the break. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice, and stand with Israel. We are in our campaign for ACLJ champions. Those are people that stand with us each and every month, and I encourage you to do that as well. Stand with Israel. Be a champion for life, liberty, and freedom at ACLJ.org/champions. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I'm saying that because Hezbollah from the north can reach Jerusalem much easier than Hamas can. So this escalation, and we know there's a lot of drones in the area, and these paragliders are what they're doing, which get under the radar, is causing a lot of problems. We'll be back in a moment. Broadcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, attacks coming in from the north. I want to go to Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy. If there was any doubt whether this was being financed and backed by Iran, that has been answered in the last hour.
Absolutely. I think it's clear beyond question that Iran was behind the planning and the operation of this war. And the ultimate goal is the erasure of the Israeli state. And so right now, Iran is basically decided that it will not emphasize its conflict with a larger Muslim world. Instead, they are resolved to go after Israel. And I think the American people should be aware of the fact that this conflict is likely to metastasize.
And it's already metastasized in a sense at the United Nations, because we've already made one filing with the Secretary General. On Friday, we're making another filing, and obviously it's going to have to now be edited, CC, because of all of these violations of armed conflict and the laws of war. All of this violates international law, but these are terrorist warriors. But Hezbollah is an army. I mean, don't make a mistake. This is not just a bunch of terrorists. I mean, they're terrorists, but this is an army. But we're back at the UN on Friday.
Right. So we will be sending a letter to the Commission of Inquiry, which is basically a fact-finding mission. They are typically always against Israel. They operate under that assumption. We are sending a letter absolutely condemning the report that they've already sent out, basically saying, you know, they're getting evidence from all sides. And that, of course, the root causes of this conflict is the illegal occupation of the Palestinian territory. And so they're already blaming just Israel. Yeah. And now we will address the fact that it is Hamas that attacked and Hezbollah as well.
I just got a report, Jordan, that there's now been a terrorist infiltration, and they're warning people in, this is in the north, there has been terrorist infiltrations in Bekaa, in Be'er Yaakov, and also in Rehovot. So that we know those cities.
These are invasions.
Yeah.
Terrorist, this is a real invasion.
Yeah. So that's what it's looking like right now. We've got a lot of calls coming in. I want to go to those. Joe's calling from New York on line 4. Joe, go ahead quickly with your question, please.
Thank you for taking my question, and I beg everybody to pray for Israel.
Thank you.
With Hezbollah attacking in Israel, does the Israeli detention then proceed to the Hezbollah's or stay focused?
Listen, Israel, you got to fight this multi. This is a multi-dimensional fight now, Jordan. I mean, they got to fight on multiple fronts. This is not uncommon. Israel's been attacked on all sides. The thing that hasn't happened yet, and I fear for this, is the West Bank imploding. And if it implodes, here's what happens: those terrorists from the Palestinian Authority and Hamas in the West Bank, that's the Jerusalem side. Let's get the map up, and that side, what happens is they send in terrorists that start bombing bus stations, buses, restaurants. That's the kind of terrorism you could see coming in from the West Bank. You've got Hamas coming in through Gaza on the from the coast, and now you've got Hezbollah from Lebanon and Syria coming in from the north. Jordan?
This is why it's going to be so important to partner with these Arab states who have made agreements, peace agreements with Israel, like Egypt, like Jordan, to make sure they are keeping their borders secure and not allowing these terrorists to use that as points to get weapons in. And of course, more pressure needs to go again on Lebanon and the Lebanese government needs to know that there could be serious ramification for its people if Hezbollah enters this and Israel must respond. But I do know, Dan, I want to underscore, because I had a very good friend who was in the IDF who went to the last war where Israel went into Lebanon. It was extremely brutal, extremely brutal on both sides. A lot of carnage.
Yeah. And Harry, an interesting thing will be, we have the Abraham Accords. You've got these peace treaties now with these countries, but this is going to be put to a test.
Absolutely. And I think the Americans should respond forcefully by providing weaponry to the Israelis. Equally clear, we should make a statement with respect to Iran. We should impose, this is my opinion, preemptive sanctions on Iran, Syria, and Lebanon. We should not wait for a direct proof of Iranian involvement.
You know, there was a couple of attempts yesterday with a couple of rockets fired, and the governments of Lebanon and Syria said, hey, this wasn't us. They were very, very quick. Have we heard, I'm asking our production team, have we heard any response from the governments of Lebanon or Syria as to what's going on? Anything yet?
Not yet.
All right. We need to be monitoring that because, Jordan, that will tell us a lot, too.
Absolutely. I mean, we need to know the significance of when there's a statement by Hezbollah about what their plans are. And we need to start looking more for other countries to start speaking out. What we're talking about there is in the region, because if you add two fronts, it's very easy, Dad. I'm not sure if Syria's got the ability to do it. But what we do know is that because of ISIS and the depletion of the Syrian military, bad actors within Syria may have the ability to make this literally a three-front war.
Yeah. All right, Justin's calling from California on line two. Justin, go ahead. Justin? All right, let's go to Connie in Pennsylvania. Connie?
How does not having a Speaker of the House affect our country's ability to react and assist right now?
We need to get it. Well, that's a great question, Connie. And Jordan, we need a Speaker of the House tonight. Because there may be appropriations necessary for this or military engagement.
Yeah, we were talking to Congressman Moskowitz, and I've been talking to him, and it's very critical. The president can do a lot when it comes to war, but we need Congress, who is bipartisan. Probably the strongest issue of bipartisan support internationally is standing with Israel. The Squad, and let me thank the Biden administration for that, and I don't do it often, for isolating them as the extremist in the House, I think makes it easier for House Democrats to come together, stand with Republicans. Let's not just issue proclamations of support for Israel. Let's get the materials there they need to fight this out on multiple fronts so that these terrorist groups don't come and start attacks here at home. Remember, we're always target number one for these groups. It's just a lot harder to target us. So we need to make sure Israel destroys Hamas and really sends a message to Hezbollah to back off.
Kevin is calling from Virginia. Kevin, we only got a minute. Go ahead, please, very quickly.
Are there any indications that our weapons from the Afghanistan debacle are being used?
Harry, you've been looking at this.
Yes, there is some evidence. As early as June of this year, IDF individuals, and this is not the official statement, have suggested that weapons from Afghanistan were pouring in or coming in to the West Bank or the Gaza Strip. In addition, the Taliban has asked Iran for permission to send troops to join the conflict. So I think there is at least some connection.
All right. And again, just very quickly, Cece, we're at the UN on Friday.
Absolutely. Standing for Israel, as we always do.
All right, folks, here's what we need you to do. We're going to send out, I hope, an updated email on what's going on as we've got more information. This was happening live. We're able to do this broadcast for you, and we know how many of you were watching and how many of you were listening, millions today. We're able to do this because of your support of the ACLJ, and we're looking for ACLJ champions. Those are people that stand with us every single month. And this month, it's Stand With Israel. You'd be a champion for life, liberty, and freedom. That applies to Israel, too. It means you're going to donate each and every month to the ACLJ Over 800 of you have joined with us in just this week alone. Go to ACLJ.org/champions. That's ACLJ.org/champions and become a sustaining member of the American Center for Law and Justice. We will keep you updated on our social media feeds throughout the day. There is a lot going on. Pray for Israel. Pray for the leadership of Israel. Pray for our president. We've got military engagements, or at least military capacity in the region now. You hope it's not necessary, but folks, this has taken on a whole new dimension. We'll talk to you tomorrow.